Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 16. First Kings 16, beginning at verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, began to be king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took his wife, Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. You know, it was quite the time. Such evil in the sight of the Lord. A trivial thing to walk in the sins. A time of unholy yoking. A time of idol serving. An idol worship, the erecting of a vile altar and image, the time of great provoking, the reign of Ahab. What a record. Omri to Ahab, father to son. We back up and we read verses 25 and 26. Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all who were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols, that is, vanities. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Omri, his name means pupil of Jehovah. What a name. A name he didn't live up to. A name he desecrated. Ahab, father's brother. Seems fitting. The record, Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. It was quite the time. Verse 33 says that in his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. The Amplified Bible, in his days, Hiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of the life of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his youngest son, Segub. This man's name, Hiel, means God lives. An inhabitant of Bethel. The house of God. The Living Bible, a man from Bethel rebuilt Jericho. It was quite the time. The rebuilding of Jericho, what foolishness. For a word had been spoken concerning one that would rebuild Jericho. Joshua 6:26, then Joshua charged, warned them. At that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn. and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. Think of it. Jericho at the cost of the life of his firstborn and his youngest son. What a time in the earth. Great evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking the Lord to anger. Then we flip the page, 1 Kings 17, beginning at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. The rain taken away. A drought in the land. This response, this action, this judgment. Seal up the heavens. Stop up the clouds, steal the clouds away. A land without rain. The land without dew. Evil and provoking are not trivial. Evil and provoking are serious matters. You know, it should have been a time in the earth of pupil of Jehovah and father's brother and God lives and house of God. But no. And now the rain taken away, the earth without rain. You know, in times of drought, the Lord has a way of providing for his people. Trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in his provision. Trust in his supply, you who have not strayed. You who have not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his image. You who have not taken to provoking the Lord. You who live in a land without rain because of the evil. Because of the evil ways of others. It was quite the time. 1 Kings 17. Beginning at verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you've said, but make me a cake, a small cake from it first, and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, Nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. What a miracle. The Lord has a way of providing for his people in a time of drought. No bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. What a time. A mother gathering a couple of sticks to go in and prepare one final meal. One last supper that her and her son would eat and then die. Living in a land without rain because of evil. Can we receive the words of the prophet today? Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. What a promise. The promise of provision in a time of drought. The rain taken away, no rain, no dew because of evil. And the provoking of the Lord. What a promise. The Lord's provision for Elijah. I mean, think about it. The Lord using a widow and her son, the two down to their last meal. And the Lord would speak, saying, even in times of drought, when things seem tight, don't leave off providing for what the Lord calls you to provide for. The Lord's provision for Elijah and the Lord's provision for a family, a holy supply, a miracle supply, flour and oil for the duration of drought. People of God, remember Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He's faithful. We can trust him even in times of drought. Even in times where it seems that there is no rain and no dew. We can trust him for provision. We must press on with God. We must continue and hold to the patterns and precepts. The Lord will take care of us. The message, she said, I swear, as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we'll die. Elijah said to her, don't worry about a thing. Oh, God, displace worry at the center of our lives. Go ahead and do what you've said, but first make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. This is the word of the God of Israel. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought. And she went right off and did it just as Elijah asked. And it turned out, as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter, exactly as Elijah had delivered it. Listen, church, in a time of drought, Jehovah Jireh for Elijah, Jehovah Jireh for this family. And the rest of chapter 17 tells a story of how this family came to know him as Jehovah Rophe, came to know him as healer, the one who brings the dead back to life. Elijah and this family, my God is Jehovah. God will see us through. God will see us through as we move in accordance with his word and continue in faithfulness and devotion, holiness, and love. The giver of daily bread. While the rest of chapter 17 plays out, it's definitely worth the read. And we come to chapter 18. And the Lord tells Elijah, his word comes to Elijah in the third year. The Lord tells him, go present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the earth. We pick up the text, 1 Kings 18, beginning of verse 2. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. What a time. And Ahab had said to Obadiah, go into the land to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock. So they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him. And he recognized him and fell on his face and said, is that you, my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, it is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here. So he said, how have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place that I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And now you say, go tell your master, Elijah is here. He will kill me. Obadiah, servant of the Lord. What a name. What a meaning. You know, thank God for men like Obadiah. Men who greatly fear the Lord, who fear the Lord from youth, servants of the Lord. Verses 15 to 19, then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have. In that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, that is a Canaanite goddess, who eat at Jezebel's table. What a time. You know, I'm giving you a lot of history today, but let's just hear the word of the Lord today. There are happenings in the earth that we may not always know and understand. We may not always know and understand how things are playing out, how the Lord is working, even concerning Israel and spiritually speaking. Because of the troubling of Israel, the forsaking of the commandments of the Lord, the following of Baals and Asherah, the feeding and consuming at Jezebel's table. You know what Jezebel means? Baal exalts, or Baal is husband to. This wicked spirit, this wicked evil spirit. It's quite the time. Well, the time had come. Showdown time. A necessary showdown. All the children of Israel and the prophets gathered on Mount Carmel. Verse 21, Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions?" If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. You know, the people answered him not a word. Verse 22, then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left, the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." All the people answered and said, "It is well spoken. The word is good." We pick it up in verse 25. We're taking in the text today. "Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first. For you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it.' So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, 'Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened.' So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near to me.' So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, 'Israel shall be your name.' Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, 'Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood.' Then he said, 'Do it a second time.' And they did it a second time. And he said, 'Do it a third time.' And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Israel, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. You know, I believe this is the word of the Lord today. Hear the word of the Lord, people of God, Israel. If there be those that are faltering between two opinions, come near to me. Repair the altar of the Lord that is broken down. Israel is your name. It's a day to set things in order. Yea, even come back to the time of sacrifice and the offering of the evening sacrifice. The evening sacrifice belongs to the Lord. Don't offer it up to an idol that doesn't answer. The spirit of Elijah, my God is Jehovah. The Lord comes to turn hearts back to him again. How long will we falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, follow him. In Baal, there is no voice. There is no answer. Jehovah, he alone is God. Listen, only Jehovah answers by fire. If you have ears to hear today, it is a day to seize the prophets of Baal. Seize the sources. Silence the sources. Get rid of the sources. Terminate the sources. Look and fall down and cry out, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Listen, this is serious, and I pray that we know the day we live in. I gave you a lot of history today. You know, Ahab was caught up and bound by Jezebel, the spirit of Jezebel. I share these words today. Please listen carefully. Christians bound by the Jezebel doctrine are 100% sure they are right. They cannot see the deception. Ahab did not go up thinking the 400 are false. They have no word from God. No, he went up fully convinced, fully deceived, totally seduced. Why do some Christians fall into deception? Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, "We are delivered to do all these abominations"? You know, that's Jeremiah 7, verses 8 to 10. There is the answer. A clinging to some pet sin, some secret idol in the heart, a justifying of sin, a brotherhood with the world. Then they come into God's house boasting, "I'm not convicted." This is an open invitation to lying spirits. He said, we don't live in that day. My God, we do. Now, we know there was much more serious with Ahab, but let us be reminded that even pet sins, secret idols, justifying of sin, brotherhood with the world, and so on, they are not trivial. They are evil, and they provoke the Lord. Stay true to God. Serve Jehovah. Trust Jehovah. Be faithful to Jehovah. Love Jehovah. He is our provision and He is our provider. Listen, in times of drought, due to evil and provoking, even concerning spiritual Israel, we can know the provision of the Lord. If we will honor the true ministry of the Lord, if we will provide for the true ministry of the Lord, if we will be avenues for the provision of the Lord, we shall know the provision of the Lord until the rain returns, just like Elijah, just like that little family. You know, I'm no Obadiah, nor are you, but you and I can have the same spirit. You and I can live the meaning of the name servant of Jehovah. I'm not Elijah, and nor are you, but you and I can have the same spirit in this day and age. You and I can live the meaning of the name, my God is Jehovah. The Lord answered by fire. The truth was clear. Jehovah is God. How long will we falter between two opinions? 1 Kings 18, 42 to 44, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now. Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." A cloud the size of a man's hand. You know, if you can receive the word of the Lord today by faith, the cloud the size of the man's hand, the God of fire and the God of rain, you know, he is faithful concerning the former and the latter rains. When the heavens are shut up, when God is at work, we must press on with God. And the day came for the rain to return, and perhaps we're here today, and we've not seen rain for some time now, and we've known the faithfulness of God in a season of drought. You know, perhaps it's the day. Perhaps it's the time. Climb to the top of Carmel. Carmel, garden land, fruitful, plentiful. Bow down on the ground, face between knees, and start praying for rain. Is God calling you to pray for rain? Is God calling his people? Pray for rain. The drought having its necessary work. And then the holy showdown and the answer by fire. Seven times, go again. Oh, the text. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." I've often wondered at this. As small as a man's hand? From where we are standing, that's all it looks like. But this cloud is the size of God's hand. Let it come a little closer today. Closer and closer. You've sought him, and his hand is on the horizon rising out of the sea. The hand of Jehovah. The worship team can come today. I share these beautiful words. Elijah's hatred for the sins of Israel sprang out of his very strong love for God's people. Listen, please listen to these words today. He was not a people hater, only a sin hater. He was not a man of revenge, but rather a man whose heart yearned for Israel's return to the Lord. To understand the spirit and power that was upon Elijah, you must hear his heartbroken cry on Mount Carmel. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. Elijah was not at all interested in being validated as a prophet. He wanted only to see the honor of God restored and the backslidden in heart returned to the Lord. True prophets though they may sound hard against sin, listen to these words. True prophets, though they may sound hard against sin, are at heart merciful, kind, and patient. And when they see real biblical repentance, they are builders and restorers of breaches. I believe there exists today an Elijah company of true shepherds. Not all preachers are backslidden or self-serving. I am hearing from a growing number of holy shepherds who have been wounded and rejected by uncaring sheep. Some are being literally driven out of their churches for preaching holy standards. But cruelest of all are the so-called prophecies and denunciations from harsh prophetic voices that have no mercy or redemptive quality to them. If you should ever hear a prophet pronouncing curses on anyone, you can be sure he is not walking in the Spirit of Christ. He is often a proud, self-proclaimed Elijah, full of arrogance and lust. The word says clearly, bless and not curse, Romans 12:14. Those who go about speaking of cursing ought to shudder at these warnings. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with a garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Psalm 109:17-18. The Elijah company is comprised of a weeping people, and any prophetic word that comes forth from their lips is bathed in tears, in brokenness and godly sorrow. They walk in repentance. They refuse to wink at sin, and they fear no man or devil when it comes to standing up for the honor of Christ. Ah, people of God. No, I'm not Elijah, nor are you. But one thing is sure, my God is Jehovah. We know the days in which we live. I mean, I pray we know. God, give us wisdom and understanding. Open our eyes. Let us, like Elijah, have hatred for the sins of Israel. A hatred for the sins of Israel, which springs out of our very strong love for God's people. Let our hearts yearn for Israel's return to the Lord. God of Elijah, send the fire. I don't know about you, but I long to see the honor of God restored and the backslidden in heart returned to the Lord. Longing to see real biblical repentance. Lord, use us as builders and restorers of breaches. God, find us a weeping people, a prophetic people, our words bathed in tears. Let us be those that in brokenness and godly sorrow continue to walk in repentance. Let us not wink at sin. Let us not fear man or devil. And Lord, give us the strength to stand for the honor of Christ. Our God is Jehovah. Let's stand in the house today. People of God, how long? Maybe somebody needed this word today. How long will we falter between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Lord, we surrender to you afresh today. Lord, I pray that even as we've read those names, God, those names, the names of these men, Lord, pupil of Jehovah, Father's brother, God lives, house of God, servant of Jehovah, my God is Jehovah. Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful, a faithful people that carry on with what is right even in a time of drought. Lord, a faithful people, God, and when the time comes, Lord, let us be found on the right side. Not faltering between opinions, but Lord, let today be a day of decision. To choose to follow you wholeheartedly, Lord. Lord, we trust in you. We commit our lives to you, Jesus. Hallelujah.